Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
There is going to be warfare that is going to follow you wherever you go. You have got to be prepared for it. You've got to be ready for it. And if not, it's going to catch you off guard. And you're going to be like, man, like God, why is this happening to me? We need to expect warfare. If you are moving in the right direction, then there's going to be things trying to go in the opposite direction of you because they're going in the wrong direction. And it was such a powerful moment for me to just realize, like, the resistance is not against you personally. And Jesus said, they hate you because they first hated me. And I want to talk tonight about, and we're going to open up this altar, and I'm believing, God, that it's going to be filled with people that need a fresh injection of grit in your life. That you are meant to do hard things, that you are able to do hard things. And on Sunday, if you remember, really quickly, we talked about the story of Jacob and Esau. And Jacob and Esau were these two brothers, twin brothers actually, and as Esau was born, he was born first, and so technically, even though it was like by seconds, he's the oldest. And in those days, the eldest son got a double portion of the father's inheritance, and when the father became, you know, too old to have his faculties, he would bless the eldest son, and the eldest son would take over the father's authority, and he became the leader of the family. And so that was Esau's destiny. He was the oldest son. But as Esau was being pulled out of his mama's womb, Jacob literally was grabbing his heel, trying to pull him back so that he could be first. Even as a little baby, he was like, no. And I respect his scrappiness. I like it, all right? Still not good, but I honor it. I like it. And so the Bible says that Esau was this big, burly, hairy man and just, you know, everything that the world says masculinity is. And the Bible literally says that Jacob was a mild man who liked to be inside. Ouch. It literally says that Isaac, the patriarch, the father, the man of the family, loved Esau. And Rebekah loved Jacob. He was a mama's boy. That's sweet. It's a mama's boy. But the Bible says that Esau was out hunting and came back and was very hungry. And Jacob, because he was a good cook, was making some red lentil stew. And Esau comes in. He says, I'm starving. And Jacob says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you some of this food if you exchange for this red stew, you sell me your birthright, the right to be the one that gets our father's double portion of inheritance and his authority. And Esau says, yeah, you know, what good is it to me if I'm going to die because I'm so hungry? Yeah, sure. Give me the food and you can have the birthright. And then Jacob ends up getting the birthright. And Esau, what we see in this man Esau is somebody who just didn't care about the things of God, just didn't. Things that were sacred didn't matter to him. He was a man that bowed his knee to whatever appetite showed up. He took whichever wife he wanted, didn't take heed of what his parents said about, hey, make sure to choose for yourself a wife from the covenant of faith that believed the same things as we do. He's like, yeah, whatever. And he just sought two women that he liked and married them. He was a man that was impetuous, that bowed to whatever feeling, whatever appetite came along, just said, yeah, sure, whatever, it feels good, do it. And at the end of the day, if you could boil Esau's life down, he was a man that took the easy way. He was a man that took the easy way. I don't have notes. I don't even remember. There's a title to this, right? What did I call it? Flawed but Faithful, a Reprise. That's right. Because that was the title of my message on Sunday. Flawed but Faithful, and this is the part two. This is the reprise. And so Esau was this man who gave in to whatever whim, did the easy thing. But Jacob, as messed up as he was, and he was a total mess, he did the hard thing. The Bible says that he wrestled with God that God actually dislocated his hip to try to get Jacob to let go. And Jacob just held on all the tighter and said, I will not let go until you bless me. And I love that God didn't honor his character, didn't honor his good works, didn't honor. He honored his wrestle. He honored his grit. He honored his fight. He honored the fact that Jacob could do hard things and said, I will not let go. I will not let go until you bless me. I don't care how much it hurts. I don't care how difficult it is. I will not let go until you bless me. And there's, I said this on Sunday, but and this is what I really want to pray into tonight is a quote from Henry David Thoreau, and it says that the path of least resistance makes crooked rivers and crooked men. And a river is formed because water just finds the easiest way. Whatever's the easiest way, that's the way that the river goes. And if you look at a river from space, every river just dances all over the place, crooked as can be. And in the same way, if a man or a woman makes a habit of taking the easy way, then you will be crooked too. But God is building in this house men and women that can do hard things, that can do hard things. And so here's my challenge for you, all right? This one's going to sting for a little bit. Are you ready? You sure? What if whatever is so hard in your life right now, just take a second to think of it. What is the number one challenge in your life right now that you feel like, man, this thing is really hard? What if that thing is actually not that hard and you're just that soft? I know some of you are like, neighbor, you better hold me back. I'm charging the stage right now. Just hold on. What if whatever you're facing is actually not as hard as much as it is that you have not done the hard work to be strong enough to handle it? My Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. My Bible says that I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. My Bible says that I am the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath, that I'm blessed coming into the city, I'm blessed going out of the city. The Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. What if whatever you're facing that is so hard is actually not that hard? You haven't actually stepped into the strength that belongs to you, that is rightfully yours because what was purchased on the cross of Jesus. And it's not about you being strong. It's not about you personally, like you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you stare in the mirror and you say your affirmations like Tony Robbins, and I am successful and I am awesome and I will, da da da. It's not about that. It's about you tapping into the power of God that is rightfully yours. The authority of heaven has been given to you. What if what you're facing is not actually that hard? You're just still a little soft. Do you have the guts to pray the softness out of yourself? Now, let me tell you, all right, now this is going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Then it's going to be awesome. Then we're just going to minister to people. God's going to fill people up. You're going to feel awesome. What if, what was I going to say? Dang it, so I have to have my notes. What if the thing in your life that you've been praying for, like, I don't know that people understand what they pray sometimes, okay? You pray these prayers and it's like, they sound great and you throw them out, you know, and like, come on, God, like, how many of you in here are entrepreneurs, honestly? How many of you own your own business in some form or fashion? Okay, so, I don't know, probably 20, 30 hands of you. How many of you, and it's a rhetorical question because I know it's all of you, have prayed this prayer, Lord, bless my business? All of us. Let me tell you what you're actually praying. Lord, give me more problems. Lord, increase the amount of conflict in my life. Lord, make my life harder. Lord, give me more challenges. And then challenges ramp up in your life. And you're like, what's happening, God? Why are you doing this to me? It's because we asked him for it. That's what the blessing is. Blessing is weight, it's responsibility, it's more. And so you have to be careful when you pray. Sometimes you don't know what you're praying. Here's another one. How many of you have ever had some kind of an illness, a diagnosis, and you have prayed, Lord, heal me? That sounds like, I mean, how bad could that be? That sounds great. There are people that, whether they realize it or not, they define themselves by a diagnosis. They define themselves by an illness. They define themselves by a sickness. And that sickness, that disease, that diagnosis, that chronic condition becomes an excuse for why you can't overcome, for why you can't take ground, for why. And I'm not trying to belittle or trivialize anybody's health situation in any way, shape, or form. But then when you pray, Lord, heal me. Lord, take this away. What you're also praying at the same time, whether you realize it or not, is, Lord, take away my excuse for not taking ground and not prospering and not growing and not. You're literally saying, Lord, remove the obstacle of the thing that I've had the potential of leaning on, and saying, well, the reason that things aren't working out is because of that, and the reason I haven't been able is because of that. Like, you need to be careful and be very calculated when you pray, because the things you pray, almost always the things you pray involve an increased level of difficulty in your life. Lord, I pray that my cousin would come to Jesus. Well, then you are going to have to disciple your cousin. You're going to be taking your cousin out to coffee. You're going to be talking to him through all kinds of stuff. And, hey, how come the Bible says this? And, well, I don't really like it when the pastor talks about this. So when you say, Lord, save my cousin, you are also saying, Lord, sign me up for more work. Every single blessing in your life that you're praying for, you're saying, Lord, make my life harder. But God is building in you somebody who can do hard things, because when you can do hard things, you are on the straight and narrow path. You don't get crooked by taking the easy way. And what I want to pray for tonight, why don't we all stand to our feet? I want to pray for anybody that's in this room that feels like they're up against something difficult. And you feel like just tired. Just, man, I don't know if I've got it in me. I don't know if I need a fresh injection of some courage. I need a fresh boost of just some ganas. Come on, somebody, some gusto in the room. I need, like, if you're in here and feel like you have been up against it, I'm telling you, like, you should be through the moon. If life is difficult, if there are challenges in your life, it means that you are over the target. It means that you are in the flow. If you are no threat to the devil, then why would he waste resources on you? If you're just at home playing video games, playing Call of Duty till 3 a.m, just doing nothing, why does the devil even need to mess with you? It's like, cool, we got this guy isolated. He's comatose playing Call of Duty every single night. So, demons, let's go find somebody else to mess with. If you don't have warfare in your life, I would ask yourself, am I shouldering all that God has asked me to shoulder? And I want to just spend some time praying for people that need a fresh injection of faith. And I want to challenge you tonight, stop praying away your difficulty. Stop cursing the difficult things in your life, because the difficult things in your life are what are building you. It's what God is using right now to build you into the kind of person that can sustain a destiny that has long-lasting repercussions, that's going to outlast you. It's going to outlast your life. But if you only have the capacity and the strength to live for yourself, then your legacy will die with you. And so if you're in here tonight and need a fresh touch, an infusion of energy, of courage, of focus, if you're in here and your back is up against the wall financially, and you need financial breakthrough, I don't care what it is. If you know that you need an encounter with the almighty, all-powerful God of the universe right now, I want you to come to the front. The worship team is going to be just playing some worship songs. I want to just pray for some people. And we're going to declare right now that breakthrough is coming. We're going to declare that we are the kind of people that can do hard things. We're the kind of people that can do hard things. God is looking. The Bible says that he looks to and fro, that he is searching for a man, for a woman who is willing to stand in the gap, to stand in the gap. Are you that kind of man? Are you that kind of woman that's going to stand in the gap and say, you know what? I can do this. I can do hard things. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now that your presence is here. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, we acknowledge, all of us, we acknowledge that we are not talking, this isn't a Tony Robbins motivational message. This isn't about us self-disciplining ourselves to greatness. It's not about that, God. It's about you. The only reason that I can stand on this stage and preach this message is because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on a cross, was buried in the ground, 3 days later was raised again, and then ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, saying, "It is done forever. The power of death, the power of disease, the power of the devil has been broken forever." God, we acknowledge that it's not our power, it's your power, but we also acknowledge that you have said, "All authority has been given to me, and now I give it to you, that you will be my witnesses in the earth," that power now belongs to us, that you have invited us through your Holy Spirit to steward your power. And so right now, God, we pray for an outpouring of the power of God right now, an outpouring of the power of God over every single one of us, over every situation, every business venture, God, every employment situation, over every diagnosis, over every family situation that feels hard, over every strife in marriage, every wayward child, whatever it is, God, we declare your power has the ability to break it, to heal it, to reconcile it, whatever it is. And so God, we thank you for a fresh touch from heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start actually by praying for the entire Capaldi family is here. How amazing is that? Scattered all over now. But one of the reasons I know that Katie and I are God's favorite campus pastors is because he gave us Pastor Stacy, and all the other campus pastors don't have a Pastor Stacy. But what a gift their family is, and Bob and Lauren Capaldi, love having you guys here, and just the patriarch and the matriarch you are for your family is, it's inspirational. It's what I want to be. I want Katie and I to be you guys later on. Can we just stretch our hands out towards the Capaldis? And they're in town because they got a wedding happening. Brandon Lazo is getting married. How amazing is that? And I just I felt this kind of weird picture of like a spreading out and a pulling back all at once. And it's like your family is expanding, like geographically expanding, and people are moving and going to different, you know, cities and places, and it can almost feel like there's a thinning out of the family because we're spreading out. But I actually saw, like, in a weird way that doesn't make sense, is at the same time it's spreading out, it's actually contracting, it's getting closer, and the distance actually is not going to dictate the closeness and the bond within your family. It's actually going to be the opposite, that actually the closeness of the family will rise in direct proportion to the spread of your family as you guys spread out across. And you already, you know, you're in Ecuador and America and Italy and all over the world is the Capaldi family. But I just hear the word of the Lord saying that as you continue to expand and even commission, you know, nephews and nieces and great nephews and great nieces and all the grandkids, as they begin to spread over the world to take the gospel to new places, that actually at the same rate of that expansion, there's going to be a closeness of the family, and that you guys are going to, God is going to make like supernatural ways. I just see these weird, unconventional reasons that you're going to be able to meet up, and it's going to be like, oh my gosh, this situation aligned where, you know, there's going to be six of us that are all going to be in, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, for some random reason. God's going to create all these places and times for you to all reconvene and stay close. So God, we thank you for this family. We thank you for Bob and Lauren in particular, God, as the mama and the papa of this family. We pray blessing over them, God. We pray length of days over them, God. We pray health over them. Pray that you would bless their ministry, bless their finances. God, we thank you for wisdom. We pray a blessing over every single member of this beautiful family. We thank you for Pastor Stacy, God. What a gift she is to Awaken Church. We pray an increase in wisdom, an increase in discernment, an increase even in the power of her ministry, that she's going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. And Stacy, Pastor Stacy, I see this resurgence in you of just the love for moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Not that you've lost it, but I just see a great increase swelling up, that you're going to be reminded of just how joyous it is to move in symphony and in concert with the Holy Ghost as you lay hands on the sick and they recover, as you lay hands on the sick and demons are cast out, as you lay hands on the sick and they have encounters with the presence of God. We bless the Capaldi family in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. God, I want to just stretch your hands out towards Tony Rivera right here. Great man of God, just an original gangster of Awakened Church and the South Campus, as it was once called many moons ago, and has worn just about every hat there is under the sun at Awaken. And him and his beautiful wife Carla are so faithful with Awaken You, and God, we thank you for the faithfulness of this man. We thank you that he is a picture of perseverance. I thank you that no weapon formed against him will prosper, that he is the kind of man that can do hard things. God, I thank you that there is as we pray sometimes, we pray, of course, for financial increase. We pray for blessing and pray for all those things. And I just see there's going to be a great harvest of opportunity coming to you. And it's you know, opportunity is unrealized financial increase. It's unrealized potential. Opportunity has to be, it has to be stewarded. It has to be unwrapped. It has to be, incubated. It has to be nurtured. And I see God building in you this patience to see opportunities as they come, this wisdom and discernment to discern the good opportunities from the ones that are going to have less yield and less return. And I see you, it's almost like you're, I don't know, just sounds weird, but just almost like I see all these nests around you with all these eggs, and they're all under these kind of heat lamps, and I just see you looking at them and watching them develop and watching them grow and you tending to them, and then just all at once they all begin to hatch. All at once they all begin to hatch, and it feels like nothing is happening, but then they all begin to hatch. And I thank you, Lord, for this great wave of increase. And I thank you that it's 360 degrees, that it's not just financially, but in his marriage, God, in his relationship with his beautiful kids, that there's just going to be this acceleration of the goodness of God in your life. And we thank you. There's going to be great rejoicing. I see rejoicing. Like you and Carla are literally going to like hold each other's shoulders and jump up and down and make noises like crazy because of like some windfall of blessing that's coming in your life. You're not going to be able to understand it, believe it. And so, God, we thank you, God, for increase coming. We thank you, God, for new levels of leadership and anointing in the Rivera family. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. There's Carla. Also want to pray for, who's this, my dude in the hat right there? Right there, the denim jacket. Don't look there. You know I'm talking to you. My guy right there. I know you. Aren't you Rich's son? Yeah, right? Yes? Cool. I'm going to pray for you. What's your name? Adrian? Adriel. Okay, cool, man. Hey, can we stretch our hands out towards Adriel? What's that on your hat? Is that like a... It's not a horse, y'all. Come on. It's like, what's a better name? Like a stallion. Thank you. Come on. A horse? Wow. Stud, yeah, there we go. Mustang, Bronco. We thank you that this man, Adriel, is that. He is an unbridled, wild man. In the best ways, not the bad ways, in the best ways. I thank you, God, that he is, when he is in the open, when he is unrestrained, that he runs fast, that he is powerful, that he is graceful, that he is without restraint. And so I just, right now, we declare, and Adriel, I see it's almost like there's all these walls around you, and it's like it's frustrating. And if you've ever seen an actual horse like that is longing to be free and is stuck in this stable, I mean, they're indignant and they snort with their nostrils and it's just like crying, like, let me out. Even like on the racing blocks of a horse race, they have to have the walls in front of the horse, because the horse, you can't just say stay to a horse. You can't say, hey, we're going to start the race in a minute. You stay. You don't move now. Don't move. They actually have to have these walls in front of the horses, and then as soon as the walls fly open, they begin to just chase down the track at just crazy speeds. And I see right now for you, it just, there's a feeling of just frustration and angst in you, and it just feels like this unsettledness. And why do I feel like there's just this longing in my heart to run, to knock down walls, to be just a force for the kingdom, a force in the marketplace, a force in my family. And it's because these stable pens are up around you, but I see they're beginning to be dismantled. I just see almost like a farmhand in the field just unbolting every plank and every post, and the restraints in your life are going to begin to be dismantled in the name of Jesus. And I just see you being fully you, fully released to be you, that you get to be your authentic self. And God would say to you tonight that He loves your authentic self. He loves who you are. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, there's things about myself. These are character flaws. These are things that are no good. God's actually saying, no, those are not character flaws. That's the way that I made you. I made you to be a wild man. I made you to be aggressive. I made you to have testosterone. I made you to want to win. There's nothing shameful about being a man that wants to win in life. And so don't apologize for it. Begin to just take that on your shoulders. And you're like, you know, the other amazing thing about horses and broncos, they carry things. They literally carry weight. They are made and designed by God to be able to support things, to carry heavy things. And I see that's you, Adriel. You're a man who's meant to carry heavy things in this life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing this young man. I thank you for revealing the mysteries of heaven to him, that you're unlocking things in his life. I thank you that he's going to begin to see things and see a direction. And no longer is there this kind of cloud over you of what I'm going to do when I grow up, and I don't know, gosh, I just feel so, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I see clarity coming to you, and I see God even giving you a vision of this is where you're going to go, this is what you're going to do, and you just have to be the wild man you are and chase after it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. And just, hey, real quick, if you, and I want you to be brave here, like if, you know, I'm the older I get, I don't have any patience, all right, so if you're too ashamed to raise your hand, then you're just going to stay the way you are, and I don't want to tell you, okay? And that's not my problem. That's your problem. If you're in here and you need financial breakthrough, and I'm talking like in a real way, you're in dire financial straits, I want you to raise your hand. No shame in it. There's no shame in it. Katie and I have been through seasons of mountaintops, and we have been in valleys of like, where is this coming from next month? And there, I'm telling you, church, you're going to have to listen to your pastor. There is a war right now for the finances of this campus. I'm telling you, there is. And I want to put it on you. Sorry, put your hand up. I told you to raise your hand, and I'm preaching at you. Your shoulders are getting tired. You're raising back up in a second. There's a war against the finances of this campus, and I know because I've talked to a bunch of you. And by the way, those of you whose story I know, if I don't see your hand up, I'm going to call you out, and it's going to be embarrassing for you, all right? All right? And so there's a war against the finances of this church, and I know it's true, and it's twofold, okay? Like, yes, you can... You need to learn to strike the ground. You need to learn to pray and not give up. You can't just pray for something 3 or 4 times, and when you don't see it come through, say, well, I guess I don't have what it takes. No. Like, you need to, like, are you the kind of person who is going to give up after praying for something for 7 days? Are you going to be the kind of person that continues to strike the ground and says, you know what? I know that the Bible is true, that I'm blessed to be a blessing. My Bible says that God has given me the power to get wealth in the earth, not so that I can just go buy a bunch of stuff for me and live a comfortable life. The Bible says it's so that you can establish His covenant in the earth. You're meant to do something with your money. Your money is meant to change this world. How can it do that if you don't have any of it? And so we're going to pray right now for financial breakthrough, but I want you to know that part one of it is you have to learn to strike the ground, to sit there every morning with your spouse, or if you're single, just in your car on your way to work, whatever it is. There's actually a song by Awaken Music called Strike the Ground. Put that song on and just pray the entire length of the song and just say, God, in the name of Jesus, I declare that my finances are blessed. Like, I am a child of God. I deserve your blessing, not because of anything I've done. It's not because of you. It's not because of your goodness, your awesomeness. You actually are not awesome. I'm not awesome. None of us are awesome. But Jesus' awesomeness has been imparted to you. You live under the umbrella of His awesomeness. So you actually can pray. Lord, I pray that you would see the awesomeness of Jesus in me, that I am blessable because I am surrendered to the blood of the Lamb that is Jesus Christ. And so there is a covering over me. There is a protection over me. And you pray, God, rebuke the devourer on my behalf. God, I pray increase. That's part one. Part two is you need to do the hard work of learning how to live within your means. There is a pandemic. And I can tell you, like, this, I am figuring this out. I live in Coronado, California, okay? It is expensive. And Katie and I, we are constantly wrestling and leaning into, like, we're not going to get into the rat race of who's got more and keeping up with the Joneses. Part one is you've got to learn to strike the ground in your finances. And part number two, you need to do the hard work of sitting down and living within your means. You have to learn how to tell your money what to do. If every single month your money is coming in and it's just like, where did it go? Then you're not in control. Your money is doing whatever it wants to. You need to tell it what to do. When you and do it before it gets here. Okay, you got a paycheck coming up in 2 weeks. You have pre-planned where that is going. And if you don't do that and you wait till it's in your bank account and then like, okay, let's figure it out. Like, life moves at light speed. Like, if you're trying to figure out where your money's going over the course of a week, you've already made 500 transactions. Your wife has gone to Trader Joe's 13 times, all right, and Target 15 times. Babe, Katie and I are on a no-spend April. We have made a commitment in April, and I mean, we're taking it seriously. Like, I literally, like, went to go buy a Celsius at the gas station, and I was like, no, and I left. I bought one later, but I'm in progress, all right? I'm working on it. And so let's just, again, this time for real, if you need financial breakthrough, I want you to put your hand up. We're going to pray right now, and we're going to break that spirit that's over this campus. And come on, I don't want this to just be me. I want you to actually pray with me. I want you to pray out loud. You can pray in your prayer language, pray in English. You can pray in Espanol, whatever. But let's just begin to pray. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we live under the protection and the umbrella of the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled on Calvary. And it's because of that that our freedom has been purchased, our blessing has been purchased, that we can say that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we can walk in to the throne room with grace, with confidence, knowing that you hear us, knowing that we're not going to be cast out because of the things we've done. It's not about what we've done. It's about what Jesus has done. And so we thank you, God, that financial blessing is our portion. God, that we are meant to be an instrument of blessing in the earth. And how can we do that if we are not blessed? So God, we know that it is your will to bless us. God, I pray right now that you would expose every energy leak in our life, every financial leak. I pray that you would open our eyes to it right now, that we would see all the little weeds that have grown in our finances that are stealing our dollars from us. And we declare that we're going to be the kind of people that are in control of the resource that you give us, that we are the kind of people who have authority over the resource that you give us. We tell it where to go. And as we learn to tell it where to go, you're going to increase it in Jesus' name. I declare right now, I prophesy promotions. I prophesy contracts. I prophesy new business ideas. I prophesy strategic partnerships. I prophesy increases in income. I prophesy storehouses beginning to enlarge and savings accounts growing. I prophesy fruitful investments. No longer will investments be stolen out of the hands of the men and women of this campus. That investments, I declare right now, investments can only increase. They can only increase. We forbid them from decreasing. We're going to sing this song right now. We're going to sing Jesus.
Wow. What an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.